morning. Today's daf in Bechoros is Lamed Aleph. We're in Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. We got through the Mishnah yesterday and a little bit of the Gemara, but to recap, the Mishnah talks about an animal that had achizas dam, so some sort of blood, whatever, some sort of blood condition. Okay, that was a wonderful description. Congestion. Okay, thank you. Some sort of congestion and required bloodletting. The problem is that although we want to help the animal and we want to heal the animal, but at the same time it's a bechor, and by bloodletting we're going to be piercing, and by piercing there's a possibility that we're going to make a blemish in the animal. And so you have two competing factors. One is that we want to help the animal. Two, we don't want to make a mum in the animal. Making a mum in a bechor is an issur d'oraisa. We're going to be talking more about that later this morning. And so with these competing values, so what is going to play out? Also, just to throw it in the hopper, it doesn't mean that if we're going to be piercing the animal, we're for sure going to make a blemish, because it could be very very possible that you have a good practitioner who's going to be able to insert the needle. I'm speaking in modern terms, but insert the needle, take it out, and not make a blemish on the animal. So it doesn't even mean that we're for sure going to make a blemish on the animal. It's possible that we're going to make a blemish on the animal. So what do we do under these situations? So the Mishnah brought in three opinions. The Braisa we learned yesterday had four opinions on the matter. I'm going to go over the Braisa again, because as you'll see, a big discussion comes up from the Braisa. So let's take a look at the Braisa inside. The Braisa Tanu Rabbanan, it's immediately after the Mishnah. Tanu Rabbanan b'chor shachzu dam akizn la'os adam imakum she'in osim bo mum. Ve'im akizn la'os adam imakum she'osim bo mum div Reb Meir. So opinion number one of the Braisa. So it's very simple, according to Reb Meir. So bloodlet, but bloodlet in a place where the animal does not become blemished. Meaning if you're going to be lopping off an ear, so that cartilage is not going to grow back, and that would make a blemish. If, however, you're just simply going to go in through part of the body of the animal where you're just going to find a vein and or an artery, and you're going to go in and you're going to let some blood, and then just simply take the needle out, and it's not going to get a blemished animal. It's going to heal and it's going to recover. That's fine. So that's for Mereshita. Number two in the Braisa, V'chacham imom rimapa makam shos debamom uvavashalo yishchat al oso amom. According to the Chacham, you can make a blemish on the animal, but this is not going to count towards a mum that allows you to shech the animal. With a mum on the animal, of course, in general, you're allowed to shech the animal, but because you made this mum, so therefore you can't shech the animal based on this mum that was created. It doesn't count. Rabbi Shimon Omer, afnish chadal oso amum, Rabbi Shimon allows you to shech even over the blemish that was created. Ah, you made a blemish, that wasn't your intention. And again, for Rabbi Shimon, intention is key. The Rabbi Shimon holds a davar sheino miskaven is mutter. This is a davar sheino miskaven. You're not intended to make a blemish, and so therefore you didn't violate the isser. And on top of that, you can even benefit from that which was created. Yes, it's a psik reisha, but we could argue that point on many different fronts. But okay. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer afilu meis in makizn lo'os adam. Now Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't care if the animal is going to die. Meaning, I don't mean to put it so callously, but in this circumstance, I don't care that the animal is going to die. You cannot do achizas adam. Any furthering, any making of a blemish on the animal, even though it's a possible blemish you're going to be making on the animal, is going to be a prohibition of the Torah, and the saving of the animal is not going to override the prohibition of the Torah. Okay. We have over here in the Braisa four opinions that are recorded, and Masni la Reb Elazar lebrei va'amri la Reb Chiya lebrei, and so a subsequent discussion that takes place between either Reb Elazar or Reb Chiya and his son. So over here, what we're going to basically do is we're going to turn to a different area in Halacha, but we're going to try to create some sort of parallel between the Braisa we just learned and all the opinions, not all, but most of the opinions that we just learned, and a subsequent Braisa that has to do with Chavishal Truma, Barrel Truma. The Braisa reads as follows. It's really a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Trumas. Let's say you have a barrel of truma, and it possibly became tame. Suffik. Now, we all know that when it comes to suffik tuma, so there are distinctions between Rishos HaYachid versus Rishos HaRabim. Okay. For our purposes right now, well, let's just forget that. Let's ignore that. And let's just simply call it a suffik, because that's what the Mishnah is going to do. And so it's a suffik. So what do we say by suffik truma? So it's we're kind of stuck. Why are we stuck by suffik truma? On one hand, Kohanim can't eat it because it may be tame. On the other hand, we know that if it's for sure Tameh, so then you can burn it. And you can even get benefit while burning it. Good. Here, we don't know. It's a suffix. So we're kind of stuck. So what can you do under the circumstance where you're stuck? So, three opinions in this Mishnah. Rabbi Lazar Amar, Im haisa b'makam atorfa, yinechen b'makam amunsna, im haisa megula yichasenu. So Rebbe Lazar's position is preservation. Meaning, right now, if it's an exposed area where it can become contact to more tuma, so don't let that happen. Meaning, safeguard the truma. I is suffik tuma. That's true. But in other words, but it's not for sure tameh. And so therefore, keep it in its current position and put it in a makom mutzna, put it in a concealed place and safeguard. Rabbi Yoshua Amar im haisa munechas b'makom amutzna, yinechen b'makom atorfa. Im haisa mechuse yigalena. Rabbi Yeshua says, expose it. Make it more susceptible to becoming more tummy. Right now it's a little bit tummy. We're going for maximum tumma. Right now it's suffik tumma. We want to make it tummy vade. Now we can't. That's okay. We can't do so biadayim. We can't do so actively. But what we can do, however, is we can put it in a more precarious situation that it's going to become more tummy. What do we gain by it becoming more tummy? So then we can burn it. Then you can burn it. In other words, of course, you can't eat it when it becomes tamei vadai, but as tamei vadai, now we can burn it, and you can get benefit while burning it. Good. That is the shita of Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Gamliel Amar lo yichadesh ba davar, and Rabbi Gamliel says, keep everything as it is. Keep it, leave it alone. Okay. So what we have over here in this brisa are three positions. Now, a little bit of creativity over here, but the Gemara is creative. A little bit of creativity over here in terms of what we're going to do now is compare and contrast the machlokas we just learned regarding the suffik truma, the truma that's suffik tameh, and our discussion regarding the bechor shachzudan, the bechor that had congestion, and now the question of bloodletting. Now, before we go further in the Gemara and we look at the comparison, let's see from the Gemara standpoint why these cases are so comparable. They're comparable for basically the following reason. Let's start with the case of the bechor. Bechor with achizas dam, it's got congestion. You know what this bechor is? I'll give us a way to look at it, and this is the way clearly the Gemara is looking at it. It's kind of like blemished. Mm-hmm. I know that's not the best way to describe it, but it's kind of like blemished. Meaning, and this, at this state right now, it's almost like a mum. It's a quasi mum. Now it happens to be that, and Tosfos makes this point very clearly. It's not like a bona fide mum. You can't shecht it based on the fact that it has achizas dam, that's congested. But nevertheless, it's basically like almost like suffik mum. Okay? The language is not precise, but it gives us a great way to look at how the Gemara is comparing the two issues. And so now, when something is now in a quasi-mum state, so what is our basic position regarding, well, how about just add more mum on it? You see? So in other words, so now the Tanaim are really arguing, what happens when you have something with a quasi-mum? And now, what do we do? Do we preserve its status? Can we make more mum? Yes, right. Et cetera, et cetera. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like now the discussion regarding the truma. The truma is suffik tamei. Suffik tamei. Now what do we do with something with suffik tamei? Do we preserve? Do we keep do we ensure that it remains in the state? Do we just add more tuma? Okay. That's how the two cases now become comparable. And with that in mind now, let's put the two machloksim together and let's create a parallel. Reb Meir ka Rabbi Elazar, so we're going to start with Reb Meir and Reb Elazar. And they're both of the position that you cannot let anything happen. Reb Meir that we saw in the Braisa says that you could bloodlet the animal, but only in a place where it doesn't create more mum. Reb Elazar in the Braisa regarding Truma, so he says, put it in a secure place. So in other words, preserve it so that nothing, there's no more that occurs to it. Good. That's how those two positions connect. Rabbanan ki Rabbi Yoshua. We're going to take the sheet of the Chachamim and we're going to put it side by side like Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua says basically exposure. Expose it so that the suffik tuma is now going to become vade tuma. The Chachamim of the Braisa say, You can make more mum. Now you can't shecht over the mum that you've created, but you can make a even stronger blemish. And Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Gamliel seem to be in total agreement with one another. Rabbi Gamliel of the Truma scenario says, Lo yichadesh badavar, don't do anything, just leave it alone. Rabbi Yehuda of the Mum Braisa, so he says that even if the animal is going to die, you can't bloodlet, meaning leave it alone. Okay, so we now have seemingly created now a wonderful parallel with three of the opinions in the Braisa. Now Rabbi Shimon has no chaver, because Rabbi Shimon is subscribing to Davar Sheino Miskaven, and you can go ahead and lechatchila even put the blemish on the animal. So Rabbi Shimon does not have a counterpart, but outside of Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, and the Chachamim of the Braisa regarding the mum, the quasi mum, and whether or not we should preserve it, leave it alone, or add more mum, seemingly now complements the three opinions regarding the truma of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, super creative on the part of the Gemara. And after all that work of building, the Gemara then destroys. So the Gemara, and standard practice of the Gemara. Mimai. Dilmat kan lo kama Rabbi Meir hasam deka ave biyadayim avahach de grama karebi Yoshua svirelei. So the Gemara says here, here's how we could break apart the link between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Eleazar. Rabbi Meir says that you, you have to preserve it in its current state. But it doesn't mean that Rabbi Meir necessarily subscribes to Rabbi Lazar, because as far as over here in the case of the Truma, all we're advocating for is give it more exposure. You're not going to do anything. You're just going to leave it in a more precarious situation so that it can become tummy. So the cases are not exactly the same.
It's grama.
And as far as the connection between Rebbe Lazar and Rebbe Meir, we can even break it from the other side. Because so when it comes to the Truma, look, it's a state of Suffolk. And that means to say that it's possible that the matter is going to be cleared up. So that's why, leave it alone. But over here, by the animal with Achizas Dam, with congestion, if we leave it alone, the animal may die. So that's something where we may lose the animal in its entirety, so maybe he would not agree in this case. Now we're going to go to the next connection, the Chachamim Rabbi Yeshua connection. The Chachamim Rabbi Yeshua connection was basically allow more to happen to it. The Gemara says maybe they don't agree with each other, because I just lost my spot. I'm going to get back. What happened? I still lost my place?
No, that's
okay, fine. Good. Okay. The ad kan lo kama Rabbi Yehuda hacha. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm gonna start again from Mimai. Okay, that way I'll have everything straight in my head. Sorry. Okay, Mimai, Dilma ad kan lo kama Rabbi Meir hasam deka aved biyadayim. So as far as Rabbi Meir is concerned, so there you're doing something with your hands. Avahacha de grama karebi Yeshua sphirele. But over here, we're basically, you're just allowing it for more tuma. So therefore, he's going to subscribe to Rabbi Yeshua. Ve'ad kan lo kama Rabbi Lazar hasam. Now, as far as Rabbi Lazar over there, meaning in the case of the mum, Ela shema yavo eliyahu v'yitarenu. Avahacha. What? Rabbi Lazar by Suffolk Tuma. Oh, you're right. Thank you. Okay. I can look at Rabbi Lazar Asam El Hashem Yavo El Yavi Yitarenu. Right. When it comes to Rabbi Lazar by the Tuma, so again, it's Suffolk, and so Eliyahu is going to come possibly to tell us whether or not it's tummy or not. It's not tummy. By the way, just make the point clear, even though I have not been clear in the last couple of minutes. To make the point clear, Shema Yavo Eliyahu, Eliyahu is not going to be able to come and dictate halacha, meaning the halacha is exactly the positions that we have over here. What he is able to do, however, is to clarify the facts on the ground. Meaning right now, the halacha is responding to the fact that it's a suffix and therefore we don't know. But if we had clarity on the issue, so then it would help us out. So what the Gemara is proposing, that Eliyahu can come and clarify matters, he can't clarify what the halacha is, he can clarify what the case is. Okay. Shemi yavo aliyah v'tereno. Ava hachadi shavik le'mais k'rabban tzvir le'. But over here, if we leave everything alone, the animal's going to die, and so therefore he would not necessarily agree in this case, and maybe he would hold like the chachamim, that you can, in fact, bloodlet. Ve'ad kan lo kami rabbanan hacha di shavik le'mais. Ava hasam shemi yavo aliyah v'tereno k'rabbi aliyezer tzvir le'. And the converse, of course, is as follows. Yes, the Chachamim allow for bloodletting, but maybe in the case of Truma, maybe the Chachamim would espouse the position of preservation. Why are we preserving? Because Eliyahu can come and can resolve the matter. Now, as far as the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, Rabbi Yehuda by Mum says, don't do anything. Even if the animal is going to die, don't do anything. There, because what you're doing is Maisa Biyadayim, you're doing an actual action. Avahasam de Grama, but over here where you're just exposing it to Tuma, but you're not actually bringing the Tuma here, so Karebi Yoshua Sphere, maybe holds like Rabbi Yeshua. Viadkan lo kama Rabbi Gamliel Hasam de Shema Yavo Aliyah v'yitarenu. Now, as far as the Shita of Rabbi Gamliel of Lo Yichadesh Bo Davar, don't do anything, leave it alone, that's because Eliyahu can come. Avahachad Yishavik Le Meis Karebban Sphere, but over here, by leaving it alone, the animal is going to die, so maybe holds like the Chachamim. Okay. Sorry, could have done a better job. All right, next time I'll do better.
Right. 7 years.
Right. 7 years. Yes.
Why don't we consider this animal a trefa? It's going to die.
So the trefa is very specific. Trefa means it has to conform to any one of the trefas that are described, the 18 in the third parak of Chulin. So over here, yes, it's a condition, and yes, the animal is going to die, but that is trefa has to be specific. Okay, now, the ode. Hacha b'kray pligi v'hacha b'kray pligi. Another way that we can make a break between what the Gemara attempted to link, the topic of mum and the topic of safik truma. Maybe the issues at hand over here have nothing to do with the svaras, but rather how to darshan psokim. And the Gemara goes through this as well. Dam Rabbi Chebar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Modim, Mechamet, Achim, Mechamet, Shu, Chayv, Dechziv, Lo Se, Afei, Chamet, V'lo Se, Esei. Sounds familiar, right? We did this not so long ago back at Menachos, and that's the idea of chimutz achra chimutz. Okay, so I allow for leavening, and then somebody comes along and bakes the leavened product. We're both going to be in violation of chimutz. Parenthetically, by the way, we could talk about the issur chimutz as it relates to Pesach. We could also talk about the issur of chimutz as it relates to a mincha. A mincha you're not allowed to make into chametz. It happens to be, by the way, that the pasuk over here is talking about mincha, not about chametz on Pesach. But in any regard, okay. So there's an issur of chametz achar chametz and misar sachar misar shu chayiv dichsiv amalch v'kasus v'nasuk v'charus. So, and on top of that, in terms of making an animal impotent by actually destroying or severing the genitalia of the animal, which is an issur in the Torah. By the way, it's a general issur. And on top of that, also it is going to be disqualified to be brought as a karban. And the Torah gives descriptions of various ways in which its genitalia are going to be destroyed. And the last two just mentioned is natuk v'karus. Natuk v'karus is basically cut and cut. What's the difference between the two? So ima kares chayav al natik lo kol shekein. So kares is creating some sort of severance. And natuk means that you totally detach the testicles away from the animal. So if you're just going to be liable for the severing, so aren't you going to be liable for the removal? So over here, even though you have rendered the animal impotent by doing a netika, by cutting, you're nevertheless going to be compounded with a second isser, even when you do further acts of sirus, further acts of mutilation to the genitalia. So over here, by chametz achem chametz, you're chayv on both the original and the compound chimutz. Same thing is true regarding sirus. You're going to be liable for the original and for compound sirus. So in lo nechlu ela b'matumum b'bamum. Over here, however, what's that issue over here is we are debating whether or not you are violating the issur in the Torah for making a compound mum, meaning there already was a base mum, and on top of that, you now want to add on a secondary mum. Reb Meir Savar Kol Mum Lo Yebo. So Reb Meir is of the opinion of Kol Mum Lo Yebo. Kol Mum meaning even though the animal is blemished. And now the blemish. Now again, this is where it gets a little bit tricky, because the blemish on the animal, the original blemish on the animal, is the achizas dam, is the fact that it's congested. Now it's somewhere between blemish and not blemish. Why? Because on one hand the animal is impaired. On the other hand, it's not one of the actual blemishes that will allow me to shech the animal. So it's a quasi blemish. And so, but nevertheless, according to Reb Meir, even though the animal is quasi blemish, the Torah still says kol mum lo yebo. You can't put any blemish on the animal. And the Chachamim say no. Tamim yela ratzon. This is all last week's parsha. Parsha Zemur. And the Chachamim are of the opinion that when is there an isser of putting a mum on the animal? Only when it's currently in the state of tamim. Once it's no longer in a state of tamim, so then there's no issur to put a blemish on the animal. Reb Meir, hi tamim yeller at some ayavid lay. And so now the back and forth, the typical back and forth of the Gemara. What is each going to do with the other's drasha? So what is the Reb Meir going to do with the chachamim? Lemu'ute ba'mum ikaro. So what he's going to do with it is ba'mum ikaro. What if it was original ba'mum? So ba'mum ikaro pshita dikla ba'mum. Who the Gemara says, what do you mean ba'mum ikaro? It was born with a blemish. Dikla ba'ama, it's a piece of wood, meaning it has no kedusha. So ela mutip psula mukdashim la'achar pijonam. So it's talking about psula mukdashim after was redeemed. Sakdach, I mean, ahov asir begizav avodam. So look, here's what we know. We know that psula hamukdashim is prohibited for gizan avoda. We've said it time and again. Even after it's redeemed, it's still going to be asir begizav avoda. But momen nami litzuru. So therefore, I would have thought the havamin would be that you can't put a blemish on the animal as well. And yes, it ties into what we discussed yesterday in the afternoon. In other words, by psula hamukdashim, is it fundamentally a carbon or is it fundamentally chulin? And the Gemara over here is basically waffling between these two positions. Meaning, if there's an isser of gizav avoda, so that means it's like kachim. And we know that you can't put mum on kachim, so kamash malan. So the chiddush is that no, by psula hamukdashim, there's no longer an isser to put a mum on it. V'rabban nami aksiv kol mum lo yebo. Now, what is the chacham going to do with the kol mum? Which for Reb Meir teaches us that you're not allowed to put compound blemishes on the animal. So the Gemara says, according to the Chachamim, here's what you do. Legramahu da'ase. So it's coming to teach us about grama. Not only are you not allowed to actively put a blemish on the animal, but you can't even indirectly put a blemish on the animal. Detanya, mum lo yebu bo, ain li ela shelo yitain bo mum. So I know that I'm not allowed to put a blemish on the animal actively. How about the following ingenuity? So put a little bit of honey right on the ear of the animal and invite a dog to come over. And the rest, you just leave it alone. And the dog will take a bite out of the ear because of the honey on the ear. And then, oh, wow, look at that, a blemish. And I didn't do it. Right, you lift your hands up in the ear. I didn't do it. So how do I know that that's also going to be aser? So Tam Alomer, kol mum, echad mum ve'echad kol mum. So the kol mum is coming to tell me that not only is actively putting a blemish on the animal going to be an iser, but even inactively or passively putting the, like we just described, is also going to be aser. Okay, so vis-a-vis the issue of mum, so it could very well be just a question of not svara, but how to learn the psukim. Now over here, we could also be arguing about psukim. Meaning, over here, meaning by truma. And the suffix tuma that existed in the truma. The amr of Yehuda, amr Shmuel, v'chein amr Rish Lakish, v'chein amr of Nachman, amr Rava, b'revu avani nasati lecha es mishmer es truma sai. Now, in Parshas Korach, when the Torah gives us the requirement, us meaning the Kohanim, the requirement to protect and safeguard the truma, it says, nasati lecha es mishmer es truma sai. You have to protect my truma. Now, the way I pronounced it, with truma tai. I can go either way, right? I'm bilingual. So you know that when I pronounced it, so I pronounced it belashon rabim at the plural at the end. Now, that's of course the mikra. That is the way that we have master from a masara standpoint in terms of how to pronounce it. Rabbi Lazar Sav Rabbi Shtei Truma Sakas Medaber Achas Truma Tar Vachas Truma Teluya Vamarachman Avile Shimur. And so from the standpoint of Rabbi Eliezer, so that's exactly right. You have to safeguard my multiple trumas. Multiple trumas? Yeah. Truma, which is for sure tahora, and truma, which may be tahora. So both of those require shimur. That is how Rabbi Yoshua Sorry. Rabbi Eliezer understands the pasuk. Rabbi Yoshua, Trumasiksiv. Now, according to Rabbi Yoshua, it says Trumasi. Now, when I say it says, what I really should say to be clear is it's written Trumasi. That is the Mesorah in terms of how it is written. Now, again, he is not arguing in terms of pronunciation. He agrees that when you're in Shul and when you're laning, you're going to pronounce it Trumasai. But by virtue of the fact that the Torah written in a way it could be read as Trumasi, so he's going to give more power, more strength to the way in which it's written as opposed to the way in which it's pronounced. This all should sound familiar. In the beginning of the Gemara Sanhedrin, we had a lengthy discussion over there, Yesh Eim Lemikra, Yesh Eim Lemesorah. Same thing over here. This is exactly the issue at hand over here. So the Gemara says, and that's really what's that issue over here. It has nothing to do with Svaras. And so therefore, there is no bridge that connects the topic of Suffik Tuma by Truma to the Mum of Achizas Dam and adding another Muman. We can't draw parallels between the two. The Mum issue is based on how to Darshan Psukim by Mum. And the Truma issue is how to Darshan Psukim over by Truma. Period. Now, the Gemara, as long as we got onto the topic of Yeshem LaMikra, Yeshem LaMesorah, so the Gemara is going to spend just a couple more minutes on this topic. L'mema de Rabbi Eliezer Sava Yeshem LaMikra. Now, Rabbi Eliezer had the word Trumasai, pronounced Trumasai, and Rabbi Eliezer says Yeshem LaMikra. So that means that according to Rabbi Eliezer, he subscribes to the idea of Yeshem LaMikra. Pronunciation is key, really. The Gemara says, what about what we learned back in the first parak in Kedushin Vrimini? Bibigdo ba. We know there's a parsha in the Torah in the beginning of Mishpatim, Parshas Mishpatim, in which if you have a daughter who's a katana, so you could sell her as an ama ivriya with the intention, with the hope that the person who buys her is either going to marry her or marry her to his son. In any event, the father has the right to sell his daughter. This right of selling the daughter is going to stop when she is a gedola. That part's clear. Is there anything else that is going to block his ability to sell her? So the Torah says bibigdo ba. Now, what exactly does that mean? We can understand that word bibigdo in one of two ways. Either come from the word beged, cloak or clothing. Now, what exactly that means? Well, stay tuned. I'm going to explain that in a moment. The other way to understand the word bibigdo is begad, where begida, which means a rebellion, an act of rebellion. Right? Remember when Yaakov has a son and Leah names this one of the sons God, right? Bagad. Rashi over there in Chumash offers two pshatim. One pshat in Rashi over there is that it was referring to luck. It's good luck. But Rashi has another pshat over there, such a wonderful pshat. And Rashi over there says that you know where it comes from? It comes from the word begida, rebellion. Why? Because Leah said to Yaakov, you rebelled against me, meaning you didn't have the child with me. You had it with Zilpah. Now, of course, Leah,
she allowed it.
Right, told him to have the child with Zilpah. But okay, for those of us who are married, I think we totally understand. I think we do. So anyway, so bibigdo ba, so it could be begida, could be a rebellion. So Kevin Shapirish Taliso Allah Shuvein Rishalam Ochra Divrei Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says, I'm going to go with the former pshat, that the word bibigdo ba comes from the word begin. Shekevin Shapirish Taliso Allah. And once you put a cloak over her, otherwise known as chuppah, otherwise known as marriage. So in other words, once the father marries her off, and he's allowed to do that when she's a katana as well, he has the right to sell her, he has the right to marry her off. So shuv ein rashai lemochra. That's it. Now his ability to sell her now is over with. Why? Because bibig doba from the word beged from mean chuppah. So once he marries her off, that's it. And obviously, while she's married, obviously, let me just make this point as clear as possible. While she's married, obviously, he cannot sell her because she now is married to another man. It means, however, that let's say she got married as a katana and she either got divorced or widowed, and now she goes back to her father. So now the thought would be, well, the father now could sell her because she's still a katana under the jurisdiction of her father. And nevertheless, according to Rabbi Kiva, no. Because once big doe ba from the word beged, from the word chuppah, once he marries her off, he can't sell her anymore. That's Shita's Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Elazar Amar Kevin Shebagad ba Shuvein Rosh HaLamochra. So Rabbi Elazar says, no, Kevin Shebagad ba. He doesn't understand the word big doe from the Lashon of beged, but rather he understands it from the Lashon of begida, meaning rebellion. Meaning once he sells her, that's it. He's not allowed to sell her again. So the Gemara's assumption over here is that Rabbi Eliezer's Shita is predicated on the fact that it is more important, not the way the word is pronounced, but rather the way the word is spelled. So in other words, it sounds like over here that it's not Yesh Em LaMikra, but rather Yesh Em LaMasora. So if that's correct, which the Gemara assumes it is, so now it creates an inconsistency within Rabbi Eliezer. Does he hold the Yesh Em LaMikra, which is the way we explained him previously, as it related to our issue of Truma Sai, Yesh Em LaMikra, or does he say Yesh Em LaMasora, which seems to be his position regarding the Begida of the Ama Ivriya? So, Hacha B'Hakam Iflagi, so the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to go through a new approach. Rabbi Yeshua Savar, Arui Lecha Shimor, V'Shein Arui Lecha Lo Sishmor. So, according to Rabbi Yeshua, anything which is fit for you requires Shimor, and anything which is not fit for you does not require Shmira. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yeshua, once it's in the case of Suffolk, so Rabbi Yeshua says it's no longer fit for you, so you can allow it to become more Tame. Again, not be Matame B'Yadayim, but put it in exposed place and allow it to become Tame. And Rabbi Eliezer, Hanami Ru'uya Hi, Shema Yavo Liya Vitzarenu. And for Rabbi Eliezer, it's Ru'uya. How is it Ru'uya? Because there's a chance. Yesh Sikui. There is a chance that it's going to become fit for you, because ultimately down the road, Eliyahu can come and be Matari. Okay. We're almost done with our first sugya of the morning. And that is, so far what we have on the table is the following. Our Mishnah and the Braisa. What happens in the animals as the chizas dam and is now partially impaired, partial mum, and can I then now add on another blemish? And so what the Gemara has done so far this morning at length is dissect the positions based on possibly svara, based on drushas, meaning each position can be explained using any one of the methods in which we outlined earlier this morning. Good. Now, Hedy, your favorite part of the morning, and that is, okay, now who does the halacha follow like? Meaning, so with all the opinions that were expressed, three opinions in the Mishnah, four opinions in the Braisa, and we're no longer talking about the Truma topic. We're going back to the Mum. So whose position is to be followed? I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, halacha ke Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says that the halacha, in fact, follows like Rabbi Shimon of the positions that are espoused both in the Mishnah and in the Braisa. Now, Maskavar of Nachmar Yitzchak, Hai Rabbi Shimon, Ilem Rabbi Shimon de Masnisan. Now, which position of Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel endorsing? Is it Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah? You mean to tell me that we've never heard this from Shmuel before? Shmuel never said that we pass him by Davar Sheinu Miskaven, that the halacha goes like Rabbi Shimon? We've heard it plenty of times before. V'ha Rabbi Chia bar Ashi Amar Rav halacha ka Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Chanin bar Ashi Amar Shmuel halacha ka Rabbi Shimon. So in one version, we have Shmuel being quoted by Rav Chanin bar Ashi, who says the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. And in another version, really, there's not going to be any significant change other than attribution. Rav Chia bar Avin Masni below Gavre. He just simply learns the machlokis straight without any further link in the chain. Rav Amar Halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel Amar Halacha ki Rabbi Shimon. Okay, good. So we know that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon, that a Davar Sheinu Miskaven is Mutter. And so therefore, if all we're coming along in our Mishnah and saying is that the Halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah, and that's what Shmuel's saying, we know that that's what Shmuel's saying. That we got to check for that already. Ela Rabbi Shimon de Braisa. So it must be Rabbi Shimon of the Braisa. Now Rabbi Shimon of the Braisa, so that goes back to immediately after the Mishnah, the Gemara quoted a Braisa. What did Rabbi Shimon tell us in the Braisa? Not only can you bloodlet this animal with a chizas dam, and not only is that going to cause a blemish, but we can go even one step further. You can even shecht the animal based on the blemish that you just made. Meaning, if it were just for the Mishnah, here's what we could have argued. We could have argued that, go ahead and bloodlet, and yes, you're going to make a blemish, but don't shecht the animal over the blemish, because this blemish that was created was done so for the saving of the animal. Right. In other words, the only thing that the intent is going to save you from is violating the Isser. But that doesn't now mean that we could register and recognize this blemish as a blemish that matters the animal. The Braisa makes the point even clearer. The Braisa says clearly that you can make the blemish and on top of that, use the blemish towards the heter of shechting the Bechor. And then the Gemara just simply says, and oh, by the way, the halacha follows like Rabbi Shimon of the Braisa. So now we're not just guessing. We're saying it clearly that Rabbi Shimon of the Braisa is the position that's in fact followed.
Two questions. One is that when there's a machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, it's Rabbi Yehuda who prevails, no?
Without the Amoraim.
Okay.
But now the Amoraim are stepping in.
Shmuel, since there's not Mamonot, Rav should prevail over Shmuel, no?
Okay, agreed. Those are excellent considerations. Okay. We're up to the Mishnah. One Lamed Aleph and Aleph. We're starting with the Mishnah. Sarin Ozen BeBechor HaRizeh Lo Yishchat Olamis. Okay, you take a little clip off of the ear. Okay, the Kohen's doing it, says Rashi. Okay, so the Kohen was given a Bechor. There's no Beis HaMikdash. We're waiting now for the blemish to come. The Kohen is getting impatient. Okay. And the Kohen now goes over to his animal Bechor and just clips off the ear. He shouldn't have done that. We've established that already.
Intentionally.
He did intentionally. Sorry. Speaking Lashon Hara about our fictitious Kohen. But yes, he did it intentionally. Yeah. So HaReza lo yishchad olamid devrei Rabbi Eliezer. So now, obviously what he did was no good. And obviously he cannot be rewarded with the shechting of the Bechor just because there's a blemish on it, because he actively violated the Torah by putting the blemish on it. Fine. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, at this point in time now, kenas, a penalty, and a severe penalty. And that is, this Bechor animal, do you know when you're going to be able to benefit from this Bechor animal? The answer is very simple. Never. You're never to be able to benefit from it. And what Rabbi Eliezer, of course, means is that I don't care that if subsequently another blemish were to naturally occur in this animal, which would in general allow for this animal and for the shechting of this animal, Rabbi Eliezer says, doesn't matter. Because you violated the Torah by putting a blemish on this animal, so the kenas is that you're never going to be able to enjoy this animal. Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. V'chachamim omrim nola b'mom, acher yishchot alav. Now the Chachamim say, look, we're also interested in kenas, but not to be as severe as Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim say that the only thing that would be allowed is going to be the next blemish that falls on this animal. But this blemish is not going to be cause an allowance for the animal to be shechted. Fine. Umi kanis Rabbi Eliezer la'olam v'riminu. Now the Gemara says now, is it Rabbi Eliezer's nature that when leveling a penalty, that his penalty is so severe? Let's consider the following. Misha yolo beheres v'nik tzitza tahor. Let's say a person has a discoloration on his skin. And now, again, it'd be wonderful if any one of us in this room or any one of us on this earth has seen tzaras, so we kind of like know what it looks like or the nature of it. But you can excise it. It's possible. And so what happens now if it cuts off naturally, organically? In other words, an accident occurred and it just cut off on its own. There was no kavana. So then tower. So now do you have tzaras anymore? No, you don't. Meaning you had it, but it was cut off. So fine. Now, katsitsa miskavein. But what if you intentionally cut it off? So the Torah says, by the way, not to. That's right, an important detail over here in this discussion. The Torah says, Yishamer b'negat tzaras. The Torah says that you are not to cut it off, but you cut it off, and you cut it off with intent. So Rabbi Eliezer omer lechishiyul olo neged acher yitaher emenu. V'chachamim omrim ad shetifrach b'kulo ad shetimait beherto michagris. Okay. So there is now a division amongst the Tanaim exactly when the next time is you can become tahor. Rabbi Eliezer Shita is basically as follows. Right now, because you cut it off, you're still going to remain in a state of tumah. And that state of tumah is going to remain until the next time you get saras, and the next time you're going to be purified from your next saras. The critical thing to remember over here is that according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's not forever. Meaning, even though you cut off the nega, you're not going to be permanently in a state of tumah. You're going to just have to wait. I was going to say simply, but then in my head I'm like, I don't know if it's that simple. But you're simply going to have to wait until the next time you get saras, and you are cleansed from the next saras that you have, and then you're going to be cleansed not only for that one, but for the previous one that you had.
And if you don't get the song?
Okay, that's why I checked myself when I said the word simply. You're right, it's not that simple. But at least there is a possibility of conclusion. There could be closure on the case. According... Wait one second. And according to the Chachamim, so the Chachamim say, Achetifrach Bekulo. Now we know in the halachas of Tzaras, so if you have a nega, and it spreads throughout your entire body, you're b'tahor. Now, of course, that is counterintuitive, but yeah, that's counterintuitive. That's fine. So that means to say now that only when we can look at the tzaras that you cut off and look at it now as part of the larger tzaras that covers the entire body, then and only then you're going to be tahor. But that means according to the Chachamim, outside of that, you're not going to become tahor again. Now, that's very severe, by the way. In other words, you are now going to be in Tumas Taras for the rest of your life. And what do you do now for Karban Pesach, and et cetera, and you can't go into the Beis HaMikdash forever. And yeah, in other words, it's okay.
You're in seclusion for the rest of your
life. I suppose. I mean, it's whatever. It's severe. But okay, you cut off and you shouldn't cut it off. So, Shetifra Bekula Achetima Beherto Mechagris. Now, Rabbi Rav Yosef Darmi Tavai Kikanas Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, so what we're basically looking at over here is we're looking at the steer between Rabbi Eliezer. So when it comes to the Baal Mum, the blemish that you put on the animal, so what's the kanas? Forever. When we're talking about the tzaras that you had and you excised it, so it's not a forever kanas. It'll be until the next time you get tzaras. But it's not a forever kanas. What's the difference between the two? The Gemara now, Rabbi Rav Yosef, Dami Tavayu. So the Gemara quotes the Amoraim, who? Explain. Ki kanas Rabbi Eliezer bimamono. Begufalo kanis. So the obvious difference is that in the case of the Bechor, it's property. In the case of Tsaras, it's your body. And the Gemara now goes on to explain. Mamona ikala memer da asila me'eved. Gufo mi ikala memer da asila me'eved. Okay. And the Gemara says like this. Look. Let's first start with the case of the Bechor. What happens now that your animal is sitting there with no blemish on it? So you know what? As a Kohen, it's the wrong thought, but here's what the Kohen's thinking. You know what? I'm going to put a blemish on it because there's no downside. Right now I'm in a position currently that I can't eat it. And until it gets a blemish, which may never happen, I'm not going to eat it. So you know what? When no one's looking, I'll snip the ear. Okay? And I'll see if I can get away with it. And the reason why Rabbi Eliezer over there is coming at such a severe penalty is because we really have to create disincentives for the Kohen from doing so, because right now he's highly incentivized to do it, because there's no downside. Right now I can't eat it, and in a situation where it stays like this for the rest of its life, I won't be able to eat it. So you know what? I'm going to put a blemish on the animal. And so because that's such a strong Yetzer Hara, so the Chachamim have to combat that with a penalty that's really severe. Good. Now, when it comes to tzaras, so right now you have a tzaras on your skin. Okay, but right now, it's not going to be here forever, meaning it could, but in other words, the sense you get from the Torah is that it's going to clear. So right now, you're risking it with significant downside, meaning that you could have gone to the Kohen, he could have addressed it, it could clear. And so therefore, you're not going to be as incentivized to cut it off because the condition can be very easily cleaned up. Again, I use the word easily. It's not so easy, but at least it's possible. So basically what the Gemara is arguing, what Rabbi and Rav Yosef are arguing is we have to look at his incentives. So by his property, he's highly incentivized to make a blemish in the animal. So we have to highly disincentivize him by making such a serious kanas. Mashenke, when it's on your skin and on your body, he's not as highly incentivized, so therefore the kanas doesn't have to be that severe. Good. That's one approach of the Gemara. To which the Gemara says, that's great. That's great. So, Amar Rabba, Durabelazar, Kasha, Durabana, Durabana, Lokasha, Ella, Durabelazar, Durabelazar, Lokasha, Kedushanina. Now the Gemara now points out, but wait one second. Meaning, we just kind of glossed over the fact that Rabbi Lazar was inconsistent, but so were the Chachamim. Meaning the Chachamim by the Baal Mum told us what? That the Knas is not going to be so severe. And by Tzaras, the Chachamim went in the other direction. So we have to resolve Rabbi Lazar. We also have to resolve the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, fine. So as far as Rabbi Lazar is concerned, we did that. Good. Rabbana de Rabbana namilo kasha. Hacha b'may da avid kansua. Hacha b'may da avid kansua. So as far as the Chachamim are concerned, we can also find consistency within the sheet of the Chachamim by looking at the Kenas addressing what he did. But my ichavein lemishrei b'hai muma. So b'hai muma kansu rabbanan. The b'hai muma lo lishtar relay. So when it comes to the case of mum, so the Chachamim now are thinking, what was he trying to do? Release and permit the animal with this blemish. So what should be the counter kanas against that? So that means to say that this blemish now is no longer going to be a means of matering. If there's another blemish that comes on the animal, fine. So the kanas is really an to address the act in which was done. The act, the goal which was looking to be accomplished. The goal was release the animal with this blemish. The kanas is, no, not this blemish. V'halcha b'mayda avid kansua ichavin l'tur nafshei b'hai ketzitza kansua rabbanan. Now, what was the goal by him excising the tzaras? I'm going to become pure by excising the tzaras. So what's going to be the kanas? You're not going to be pure. So the kanas is going against the goal of the act. By Rapapa Yitaher Tanan o Vyitaher Tanan. Okay. Our question on the table is as follows. Now, we know that according to Rabbi Elazar by the tzaras, we're going to get a little bit caught up in the tzaras for just a couple of moments. By the tzaras, according to Rabbi Elazar, so you have tzaras in your skin, you excise it, you shouldn't have done that. You did it. And according to Rabbi Elazar, the kanas is what? According to Rabbi Elazar, is that you are going to have to wait until get another case of tzaras, be purified from the second case, and you're going to be purified from the first. Good. That is all Shitas Rabbi Elazar. Gemara has a super technical question within Shitas Rabbi Elazar. Yitaher vi yitaher. Now, what's the difference between that? Basically, it goes like this. This person excised the tzaras off of his skin. Fundamentally, he's tahor. But because of the penalty to Rabban, because of the kanas to Rabban, and he remains tameh until when? And the Gemara is now looking for the precise moment when the penalty will come to an end. One point will be when he gets his new tzaras. A second point would be when he's cleansed from the new tzaras. You have to be wondering to yourself, what difference does it make? Which is exactly the Gemara's question. Meaning, okay, so if I were to put it at when he gets his new tzaras, or until he's cleansed from his new tzaras, when all said and done, do you know when he's going to be tahor? When he's cleansed from his new tzaras. So the Gemara says, Lamay nafkamina. So what difference does it make? So lechkason shenira bo nega ditnan. So the Gemara says like this. Let's say we have the following. Okay, follow the storyline over here. We have a young man, not married, who had tzaras on his skin, and he excised it. And now, according to Rabbi Elazar, he's going to become tummy until the next time he gets tzaras. Fine. Now he is fine. So mid the Rabbanan, he's now in a state of tuma, and at that point in time, now he meets a nice young lady. They're engaged. They're going to get married. And now, right a day or two before the chasna, he sees new tzaras on his skin. Okay. It's going to be a little bit inconvenient of a time to get tzaras, understandably, right? He's got a wedding. He's got his own wedding to be at. Fine. So you remember the Gemara in the beginning of Ksuvos, right? Daf Dalid. So over there they talked about delaying halachic processes so that the marriage can go on. Now over there there was a discussion of avelus and the delaying of avelus so that the marriage can go on, right? A highly emotionally charged event. But fine, that's the Gemara in Ksuvos. Similarly over here, it's the same idea. We're going to push off a halachic process so that the marriage can go on. So how could you push off tzaras? Actually, it's pretty simple. Perfect. Tzaras is only tzaras when you go to the Kohen and he registers in a position, an opinion. Until that point in time, it's just simply an unknown. And so what the Chachamim are going to tell this Chassan is, you know what? Maybe tzaras, I really don't know. Wait. First get married, enjoy your Sheva Brachos, and then go to the Kohen. Right. or bundle up. Either way. Now in our question, again, I know the Nafkamina is, you know, is really unlikely, but in our question now, so he had tzaras one time before the chasna and he cut it off, so now as a kanas he's going to be tummy. And now he gets his second tzaras. If the first one is lifted with the arrival of the second tzaras, in this circumstance now, it works out good. Because the kanas now has been lifted. In terms of the second tzaras, he's told to wait until the chasna is over and then go to the Kohen. So now he's going to be in a position where the first tzaras is gone, the first tumah tzaras is gone, And the second one is not until after the Sheva Brachas.
But if a Kohen has been called...
If, however, the first Saras Kanas continues until he's healed from the second Kanas, so then he's stuck, and the wedding's going to have to be postponed. The Gemara says that's going to be the Nafkamina. Again, it's a really, such a detailed Nafkamina, but that's it. Chasen Shener Bonega Nosen Lozan Yamim Lo Ule Atstilaso Ule Chsuso V'chein Beregel Nosen Lo Koyimei Erego. Okay. And so, circumstances in which we can delay the halachic process into which he can now either enjoy chasna or enjoy yantif. So, I amart yitar tanan mikamaisi tar le lebas raisa natron le zayin yamei mishta. So, if we're saying that the first kanas is lifted at the introduction of the second saras, so then that's great. The first saras now is gone. The first tumah is now over. And now we're going to be waiting until zayin yamei mishta. And then... he'll go and he'll get an opinion regarding this, the second saras. Ela iamar v'yita her tanan so sof kilo mitamim lebasraisa hamitamim yevakai mikamaisa mai. So that means to say now that if the kanas is not lifted until he's cleansed from the second saras, so over here he can, there's nothing he could do. He's now going to be state of tumah and he's going to have to wait until he's cleansed from the second one, and then and only then can we have the chasna. Teku, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Let's recap for today, and then we'll finish up, obviously, tomorrow morning. Today we talked about the bechor with the achizas dam, a bechor that's congested, and whether or not you could put a blemish on the animal. In the Mishnah, there were three opinions. In the Braisa, there were four opinions regarding whether or not you could basically put a blemish on top of another blemish, safeguard and make sure that nothing happens. It's a davashena miskave in a range of positions. The Gemara spent a lot of time at the end of yesterday's daf, the beginning of today's daf, trying to relate and connect this machlokus to the machlokus of a case of truma that's in a state of suffek tuma. And maybe the two cases correlate with one another. The Gemara ends up splitting the two. They do not connect with one another. It could be that over there it's just based on drushas and how to darshan the psukim by truma si versus truma sai. Over here, kolmom, it's a question of whether or not you can compound blemishes one on top of another, and so the issues are not necessarily connecting and correlating one to the other. The Gemara then went on to psak. As far as psak is concerned, the halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon, adav shenem eskaven es mutar, at least that's Shmuel's position, and Shmuel also holds like the Braisa. Not only can you make a blemish on the animal because it was unintentional, but on top of that, you can even shech the animal based on the unintended blemish that you created. Then the Mishnah goes on to discuss the Kohen who puts a blemish on the animal, Hatsoreim, Ozem Bebechor, who deliberately violates the Isser in the Torah of putting a blemish on a Bechor so that he can benefit from it. Certainly a penalty is in order. The degree of penalty is the machlokus between the Tanaim, between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer holds a very severe penalty, and the Chachamim less severe. The Gemara compared this to Tzaras, and noting that Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim are switching roles in terms of severity. And so the Gemara looks to resolve the discrepancy between our Mishnah over here and the Mishnah over there by Tzaras.